everyone. Welcome to the Cultivate Podcast through the Grove Church. I'm Charlie Lofton, the lead pastor there. Thank you so much for joining us as we are still in the middle of a series kind of talking about the Bible. We spent a few weeks kind of talking about more of the academic side of it, really understanding where truth comes from, how we got the Bible, those kinds of things. Did a Q&A with some questions. And for the last couple of episodes, been here with Melanie Alexander, local expert. What's up?
Hello.
So what's your bigger pet peeve, Melanie Alexander, that someone accidentally calls you Melody? Or they just like give you some other nickname like Mel or Melon? Like what's the bigger pet peeve?
It's probably Melody. Mm. I do get called Melody from time to time. Or really misspelling it, like M-E-L-O-N-I-E, Maloney.
Okay.
Which, you know, I get it. It's not a super common name.
But so. You've got an easily spelled last name, so that makes up for it.
I do. But it winds up being really long. When I have to actually, like, sign a check or write it all out, there's a lot that goes in there. But I moved up. I was a P, and now I'm an A.
Like, you're first.
Yeah.
I've always been an L, so I'm just right in the middle.
Right. My kids are always like, why are we always the first ones to go? Like,
alphabet,
you can thank
bro.
Your dad.
So we have been talking for the last couple of episodes about the Bible. We spent some time first just kind of talking about why people don't want to read the Bible. And we kind of summarized it into two things. It can feel confusing, intimidating, overwhelming. And maybe some people have done damage to us with the Bible. And then we spent some time talking about why they should read the Bible. And it seems like we ended up spending just a lot of our time just around the idea of being grounded in a world that does. How do we make sense of a world that doesn't make sense? And how do I know who I'm supposed to be and who God is and all of this? And it just can really kind of ground us in truth when we can feel completely overwhelmed.
Yes.
And there towards the end, you know, it felt like it got really big. Like if you use the counterfeit money illustration, if you really want to see what's counterfeit, you need to really know and study and you know the truth and the true dollar bill so well that you recognize counterfeit everywhere. And in my mind, I was thinking if I were a noob, you familiar with gamer lingo?
Yeah.
If I was new to all of this or just a novice in some way and really kind of knowing and studying the Bible myself to get to the point to where I was a counterfeit bill expert, that's not something I solve next week.
Yeah.
So it can feel a little bit overwhelming. So let's pretend that we're all at square one or close to it.
Okay.
What are some tips that you would give us in our journey to become counterfeit bill experts?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that just immediately came to my mind as you were saying that would be like, feel okay with asking someone that you trust, someone at the Grove, someone who is, you know, a small group leader or a Bible study leader. I read this and I didn't understand what it meant. Mm. Or does it mean this? I just recalled a situation back when I was working with this college ministry, and there was a young lady that I was discipling, and I remember her coming to me and saying, is the Holy Spirit real?
Mm.
Like growing up, that was a big deal. Is that real? Like, is that in the Bible? And I was like, yeah, let's go look at it. Mm. And so that can be maybe feel a little humbling.
Right.
You know, but there's a lot of people, that's part of what we do in the body is we help each other, learn what we need to learn, and we bounce things off of each other. And so asking questions, if you come across something that you don't understand, or, you know, what does the Bible say about XYZ? Pick your topic.
Right.
And ask someone that you trust, you know, for some help in that. I think that's a great place to start.
So somebody not necessarily, I mean, level might be the wrong word, but I'll just use it anyway. Not someone who's on my level, but maybe someone who's just a little bit further down the road in understanding. Hey, help me understand. So I'm not asking, hey, just teach, not necessarily saying teach me, but hey, but I'm reading this. And as you're reading it, if you got questions.
Right.
Just ask somebody.
Right. I mean, and that can also go into getting into a Bible study with some people, right?
Okay.
whether that's a formal thing that you sign up for or that's you and a couple friends, you know. But again, people that are really looking for truth and not just looking to confirm their own preconceived notions.
Oh, that's good.
Right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we can just go on the internet and do that, right?
Right.
But people that are like, hey, let's really kind of figure this out and look for some truth together. It can be a community activity.
So one thing that you said in a previous episode that I just kind of mentally bookmark in the back of my head, which I think could be helpful, and maybe it ties into this a little bit, which is every now and then I'm going to come across something, not that I don't understand, because if I don't understand it, I can ask, hey, Melanie, I don't mm-hmm. understand this. Can you explain to me what this means? And you can help me understand. Mm-hmm. What do I do if I read something I don't like it? Because you talked about that. Like sometimes yeah. I read this and it's not that I'm confused about what it means, but I don't, it's very clear what it means and I don't like it. What do you recommend in that situation?
So this is going to be an answer that may sound a little harsh.
Uh-oh.
To
come on now.
To some people, but I'm going to apply the same harshness to myself.
Okay.
Just to make it fair.
Right.
I think we can't go wrong, or we will go less wrong if we give God the benefit of the doubt over ourselves.
That wasn't harsh. Are we working our way towards harsh?
Well, you know, that maybe that was a soft lead in to okay. it. Like, I am broken.
Right.
I'm fallen. I have a sin nature. I don't think right. My heart doesn't interpret things right. It's getting better and it's in the process of being redeemed. But there's a lot that doesn't work right in
right,
me.
Right, for sure.
Right? And, you know, what I don't know what like the scientific percentages of like actually how much of our brain we use, but it's some like little tiny percent, right? Of
right.
like how much of our brain that we use. And here's something that I say all the time, like, because again, we're living in a current culture where we have information at our fingertips. We can know whatever we want. And so therefore, there is an illusion that we do know everything.
Right.
But you know what happens like when it rains outside? There's water falling on your head from the sky. And the only thing you can do about it is hold a plastic umbrella over your head. Like, to me, that says like we're still not really that big of a deal and we're still not really that smart. I can't keep water from falling on my head. If I want to go to a picnic and it rains, there's nothing I can do. I haven't figured out. We have not figured out how to control weather.
Right.
We're not that smart, right? We're not that smart. But we think we are. Mm-hmm. So I defer to, I am probably misunderstanding something.
That's good.
Right? God is truth. He is the creator. He is the one who put together this whole thing. Why would I go, well, I think I know better. Mm. I don't know better.
Right.
I don't. Like, I just don't. So that maybe that's where it gets a little bit more harsh. I think our opinion of God can diminish, and our opinion of selves, you know, we can inflate our opinion of our own
right.
selves. And I try to push against that because I'm right. just, I'm not really that smart.
Yeah. I mentioned this a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning that I started doing puzzles. And like, I think about like the analogy that I use is I've got all these pieces and I'm putting them together based on what I think the picture is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get this piece and it doesn't fit with what I'm doing. Am I going to throw that piece out, or am I going to recognize that perhaps I'm not working with the right picture?
Right.
Like what I'm doing is the problem. I need to probably disassemble a little bit what I'm doing and make room for this new piece of information.
Yes.
Or am I just going to toss it? I mean, the only other thing I would suggest is that, like, I've got this thing that I'm building. This is who God is. This is how life works. And I've got this thing. I don't know what to do. Sometimes, like, if you need to just kind of set it right there for a hot minute,
sure,
but don't throw it out.
Right.
We've got to let what God says shape who we think He is, not let who we think He is shape who He is.
Yes. Like, I've heard, I appreciate the phrase, like, domesticating God. That we make him look just like us.
Right. What a coincidence.
Because that makes so much sense,
I
right?
learned everything there is about God, and he agrees with me about everything. Yeah. That was
right.
great.
And so we domesticate, but he is not us.
No.
He is other, and above, and all, and the source, right. and yeah. And, you know, I'm 43 now. I thought I knew a lot when I was 26, right? And I did know some things.
Right.
But there's some things that I've realized now, like, oh, I didn't really know that, or I was wrong, or that didn't make much sense then. It makes a lot more sense now. God is not done with us, right? Until we're in glory, he's not done with us. And there may be some things that just don't make sense until we're in his presence.
Okay.
Right? Like, Corinthians talks about that. Like, we look dimly through a mirror, but then we will see face to face.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, being okay with the puzzle piece that maybe we don't quite get, I think it is okay to kind of table it. Like, I don't know what... my kid is constantly asking me about the dinosaurs. And, like, I don't know what the answer to that is. I really don't. I don't know. And there was a season where that really bothered me. And it felt like because I didn't know that, I needed to throw everything out. And now right. I'm kind of like, well, I just don't know. I don't know. But I know enough of everything else that I need to know.
That's good.
So that's okay.
All right. So let's dial it back a little bit and just start the very, like, so I want to read the Bible. Where does it matter what version I get? Does it matter where I start? I mean, it seems like most people are like, well, I'm going to start where at the beginning, I guess. I'm going to start with Genesis. Or some people like, oh, man, I'm going to start with Jesus. Or some people, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Where to start? Where do I start?
There's a lot of versions out there. I would encourage someone to pick one that is a more modern translation, maybe not an original King James with the these okay. and the thous, and because that can just feel confusing. I don't have a problem with, like, the Message Bibles and those, like, there's nothing.
The ones that are just kind of more paraphrased.
Right. There's nothing wrong with them, but those are not kind of direct translations.
Right.
Is another person who read the Bible and then put it in their own words. And so I wouldn't have that necessarily as a place to start.
Okay.
I would try to have, you know, a version that is, that has been carefully translated from the original languages, because that does matter, I think. So
the two biggest ones I hear the most, I feel like, are NIV
yeah.
and ESV right now. It was different when I was, you know, 20 years ago, it was NASV, right? That's how you and I grew up.
Yeah.
But it seems like ESV, and that's a little, I would say it's a little more academic.
Yeah.
And NIV is a little more user-friendly.
I'm an NIV gal. This is the one that I have is an NIV.
Can you just put that in front of the camera?
It is, like, legit falling apart.
Is that the original cover?
It is.
Cover's not the right word, because it's not really, is it
attached? It is the original, no, it's no longer. It's no longer attached. I need to get it sent. Surely somebody somewhere could put it back together for me.
You already said
think?
You're not an app person, so I guess you're just not. You're not a Bible app.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
Because I circle and I write and I, you know, exclamation point things and I write down.
If you get a new Bible, I want you to take the new cover off and put that cover on it.
Okay. This makes me look like I'm really spiritual,
too. Very spiritual. It's very impressive. Very impressive. Okay. So translation, don't really. Did I start at Genesis 1? Start reading?
I probably would not. I mean, Genesis is great. You start getting past Genesis, and we talked about getting into the weeds of Leviticus and early on. I mean, I have often recommended, you know, to pick a gospel. John, you know, I think is a great place
to
start.
Those are the first books in the New Testament.
Right. The first books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pick one of those, like starting with Jesus is a good place to start, or to pick a New Testament letter. I think it can be really helpful to pick something to read in a sitting. So a book that is short enough that you can read it, because again, Timothy and Colossians and Galatians and all those were letters written to the church. Right. So they were intended to be read, just like we don't get many letters anymore. But if you got a letter in the mail, you'd read the whole letter, right? You wouldn't read
chapter at a time.
Right. You'd just read the whole letter. So those are pretty short, and you can read one in 15 minutes. And so picking probably something in the New Testament. The Gospels are a little longer, and they, you know, you can read them in a sitting, but they're typically a little longer. But I love, like, especially for someone who all you've ever heard of the Bible are little snippets, to try to find a book that you can read as a whole.
That's good.
Because I think you'll have a very different experience with it.
I really like the idea, too, of starting with the Gospels, too, because it's a little bit like, and we've used a lot of pop culture metaphors here, it's a little bit like, in what order do you watch the Star Wars movies?
Right.
Like, the first one that came out was episode 4, and then they made the prequels.
Yeah.
But, like, starting with Jesus, even though he's technically kind of in the middle of the story, is really kind of who the story centers around.
He is the main event.
Yeah. And so I understand that first.
Uh-huh.
And then going into Paul's letters helps me understand. It was written to Christians after Jesus died and rose from the dead, on how to process that.
Right.
And how to live it out.
Right.
And so I understand who Jesus is. And then I read a couple of these letters, and it helps me process who I'm supposed to be based on that.
Right.
I get grounded there, then I can go to the prequel.
Yeah.
How did we get here?
Right.
And so I really like that.
Yeah.
Looks like you're holding on to some props there. What have we got here?
I do. I have a couple just resources to share that have really helped to me. This is a book, and it doesn't look like this is an early 2000s cover. You could tell by the
yeah,
graphic.
Come on now.
You know, the graphics on it. But it's by Max Anders. It's called 30 Days to Understanding the Bible in 15 Minutes a Day.
Okay.
So, man, if you are a, you know, short, practical person, you know, here's a great place to start.
Right.
But it kind of goes through, I don't know if we can see this on the camera, but there's like an arch.
Ooh.
You know, it kind of puts the Bible in these kind of movements and kind of in order.
Right.
And all the books aren't necessarily, especially in the Old Testament, they're not necessarily in chronological order. But it kind of helps you understand, like, here's the arc of the story.
Right.
God starts with this, and then these people come along, and he uses them to do this. He gives them this. It doesn't work. He brings this. And this is just a great resource. I've kind of gone through it with groups of people before. It's very accessible, and it just helps give, again, understanding that little bit more of the framework, especially like if we can understand more about who the Jews were, why they mattered, because Jesus was a Jew. Most of us aren't, right? Like, there may be a couple people listening, but most of us are not Jewish. I mean, most of the Bible is about Jewish people or written to Jewish people. There's some in the New Testament written to none, but majority of it is. And understanding a little bit more about who those people are, that history, really can help us figure out better, you know, what the story is telling.
I love that. I mean, start with Jesus, read a little bit of Paul. I can read it in a sitting. Help me get grounded there. Then find a resource of some kind to kind of help me understand the big picture of the story.
Right.
Then I can maybe get on one of these devotional plans or whatever that works my way through the whole Bible. But I've got a roadmap.
A road. That's a great word for it. A roadmap. Right.
Yeah. Because like I said, the books of the Old Testament are arranged not chronologically, but by genre.
Right.
And so you'll find yourself a few different times reading something in one book and then coming to the next book, or a later book, and you're reading the exact same thing, like Chronicles and two Chronicles books and the two Kings books, Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It's like you read, like, I'll get it. And then you get to the prophets, and then, like, how does that connect? Where are we right now? It doesn't necessarily help you.
Right.
So that's really good. I love that.
Yeah.
So are you a Bible plan person where you kind of like working through some sort of Bible reading plan? Or are you more of a randomizer?
I will be honest. Like, I have read through it before with a plan, I think 2 or 3 times. I mean, here's the one that I started, and you can see, what am I? Did I get? I get to week 4, and I have no more X's on here. Mm-hmm. So I am just as much as a give up on the Bible reading plan as I am a And I want to be honest about that. Like, right. I mean, I'm in a little bit of a slump myself right now. Okay. I've found other things that are kind of interesting, and I haven't been reading my Bible much lately. And, you know, like, even just sitting here preparing for this time together, as I sat down and made myself read some things, like, it changed me. Mm. And I'm like, why am I not doing this?
That's good.
Like, why do I not? And it's just, I'm just a human that's busy, and there's lots of other stuff, and it's a discipline that I have to put into my life. So I you know, the Bible Project is a good app, you know, that I would recommend, right, that has been helpful for people. And there are, you know, read through the Bible apps that you can download that I have done before. Some, right, if a structure like that is going to be helpful to you, then I think that those are great resources.
Yeah, I found when I get into a slump, and we all do, and I think it's good to say that and to not feel like that somehow that I've lost all the points and God's mad at me, right, and all those things, that finding one of those plans, whether it's reading through the whole Bible or just the New Testament or whatever, can kind of help get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And one thing I enjoy, this is just my own little practical tip. Like, if you find yourself, you're having to commute, you're finding yourself in the car a lot, they will read it to you.
Yes.
And I love that. So that's what I'm doing right now. I've got a plan when I'm in the car, I make him read it to me for that day. And I can't listen to Spotify,
right,
or sports talk or anything until I have made it all the way, until he has read whatever section of the Bible we're reading today, get through that reading. And again, you can... Also, hot tip, you can adjust the speed.
Yeah.
Dude, reads slow.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you what speed I read it at, because, yeah, I did tell one of my small groups what I did, and then they thought I was a huge nerd.
Yeah.
There's no way you can listen that fast, but yeah. I do.
Yeah, absolutely, you can. And I, you know, with the advent of the podcast world, I mean, there's so much out there, and that is another thing in my journey of learning what I have learned. Like, I've been listening to the same Bible teacher teach through books, like just solidly through books of the Bible since 2008. Okay. I got one of those original white iPods, you know, that had like the big circle.
Are you
thing
saying
on
you
it.
Still have it?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. That's
what
long I thought you were
gone.
Saying. And I still listen to the podcast.
No, I don't. But 2008, and figured out that I could connect to a podcast of a church in Denton, Texas, with a guy that teaches there, that
Tommy Nelson,
yes, one of my personal life heroes. And I did whatever I did to connect to that and downloaded the first one. And it was, he started the book of Romans, and I just listened to it. And it took him like a year, mm, and he went all the way through it. And I've listened through 1st and 2nd Samuel, Jonah, Hosea, Matthew, Revelation, Corinthians. I don't remember if it was one or two.
Okay.
But I just would listen, like, I'd be exercising and I'd listen to that. I'd be painting furniture and I'd be listening to that. I'd be cleaning the house and I'd be, there is so much that we can, right, listen to. And that's not just the Bible being read, but it was someone kind of working through a book. And you know, some people think that sounds unbelievably boring, and that's okay.
But so again, what would you say? Like that,
I learned a lot.
That's kind of like, some people would call that like a secondary source. Like, right, I'm not reading the Bible. I'm listening to somebody else talk about the Bible.
Right.
Do you recommend one over the other? Do you recommend a blend of both?
I think you need both.
Okay.
I think you need both that. Because even though I have, you know, I find him to be a very trusted source, he's still a human.
Right.
Right. And so I need to be able to go and look myself also and not just take secondhand what's being told to me, but make sure that I'm reading it for myself too, and that my spirit is really confirming, that God's confirming in me. I'm coming to the same conclusions as, you know, what's been taught. Right. 'Cause that's part of the problem, is that we just listen to what people tell us, right?
Right. For
so,
sure.
But again, I don't want to say that, I mean, there's a million books in the bookstore and a million, I don't want to say that stuff is wrong or unhelpful, because it can be a really confusing book.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
So if you can find some resources, secondary things that you really trust that seem orthodox, that seem to be hitting, you know, the big points that we're agreeing on, that the Bible is true and authoritative and Jesus is the one and only Son of God, and, you know, the big things, the hills we need to die on, that I don't see any problems with having that to help you learn, you know, more about, again, the culture of these places and the history and the background. And then you can go and then you can look at that passage for yourself and read through it yourself as well.
Yeah, to me, I 100% agree with what you're saying, because there are some things about, like you said, we've talked about the way that culture worked, the places, the people. There's some things that are out there that you're just not going to be able to find out any other way.
Right.
And so it is good to have somebody who has kind of done all the scholarly work to help you understand it, to listen to them. But I never want that to be at the expense of somebody believing that they can't sit down with the Bible themselves.
Absolutely.
And hear from God in a real way.
Absolutely.
And this is as somebody who is wanting people to come to church every Sunday and hear him talk about the Bible.
Right.
Given the choice, I mean, if I had to choose, learn how to read and study the Bible yourself.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think it is both. I think we want to do it together. We want to do it with people. We want to hear people who are experts explain things to us that maybe we can't understand. But don't ever get it in your head that you can't get to a place where you can read and understand the Bible. I think that's so important. Like, I this is one of my big deals. Like, I just hate it when Bible teachers such as me or you teach or talk about the Bible in such a way that makes it feel inaccessible.
Right. Well, I mean, that was really, if you look back at the worst points of church history, that's what was going on.
Right.
Is the Bible itself was not being made accessible. It was only to the professional Christians, right?
That's good.
It wasn't translated even into the common language.
Right.
And that gave us the Middle Ages and some pretty terrible stuff.
We talked about that very recently in a staff meeting, how the invention of the printing press and the translation of Bible into local languages kind of turned the world upside down.
It did. And yeah, you have to, again, that goes back to that metaphor of, you know, studying to find the counterfeit money, right? Like, we've got to be in it. Recognize it. And it because it is also like they're, I'm hesitant to use this word because I don't want people to take it the wrong way, but
do it.
I have said, like, to me, the Bible is magical.
Ooh.
Right. And
that's Harry Potter.
I don't believe in magic.
No,
but like, seriously, like
it's mystical.
It changes me. Mm. Like, it changes who I am. I can read something in here and I'm a different person. I don't know what else does that.
Right.
It is, in Hebrews it says it's living and active. It divides, like, God uses it in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to continually make us new.
Right.
That's about as close to magic as we're going to get, I think, right?
For sure.
That's about as close as we're going to get.
Is there a difference between I'm just reading the Bible and I'm studying the Bible?
Sure. Yeah, I think there can be. I do really love the inductive Bible study method. That sounds really nerdy and fancy.
Right.
And it doesn't. It's not really that nerdy and I mean, you can make it as nerdy and fancy as you want it to be, but it is a way of, you know, I mean, it's the difference. Anybody who's been, you know, through a college class, like, you study, right? And then sometimes you're just reading.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So studying is looking more like breaking down some of the words, making sure you understand what the words mean, making sure you understand the metaphors that are being used, making sure you have gotten the tone of voice right, like that you're seeing things that are being repeated over and over again, because those things are there for emphasis. And so learning some simple Bible study tools like that. And then, you know, and then reading is, I do love reading, you know, again, just reading in a big chunk, reading a whole book. I think both of those approaches are helpful when you're trying to learn and grow.
And if you're part of the Grove, there are quite a few people around here who could teach you the inductive Bible study method. But it's at its simplest, it's kind of a three-part process where I'm really kind of slowing down. What is this really saying?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I need to do about it?
Yes.
I'm observing what it says. I'm interpreting what it means. And I'm applying the meaning, right?
Yes.
So if you have interested in that, there again, ask somebody. Everybody in the church knows somebody who knows somebody.
That's right. That's right. There's enough of us scattered around.
All right. So I got one more for you. So somebody's starting to read the Bible. They're trying to study, trying to understand it, whatever. And they say, you know, I was reading this passage today, and let me tell you what it meant to me.
Mm.
You just said, so maybe I don't even have to ask the question. What came to your mind as I used that phrase? Hey, I read this passage, and here's what it means to me.
I think that can be a fine thing to say.
Right.
Like, that can be meant in a way, like, I can say that. Like, there are certain passages in Scripture that mean to me in a very significant way.
It hit me in a very personal way.
Hit me in a very personal and significant way. So that phrase, you know, here's what it means to me, that doesn't necessarily mean bad or wrong.
Right.
It's just something in my heart. God used that to connect straight into something in my heart. And then another way that it can be used is, well, here's what I think it's saying, or, you know, I'm going to take my framework,
right,
and I'm going to fit, excuse me, the Scripture into my framework. And again, that's kind of going back to what we talked about before of where are we starting with? Are we starting with this is true and this is of God? And if there's something I don't understand, like, it's because I need to learn and grow. Or is it, I'm going to make this fit into what I already think about the world.
Right, for sure.
Right? Excuse me. So I do think we need to be careful. Like, we need to come to Scripture with an attitude of humility and with, you know, the mindset of it is the source. I am the one who needs to be changed by it. And it can be deeply personal and personally significant. And there are plenty of things in Scripture that you can have different interpretations of. Mm-hmm. There are some things that we all don't agree on, and that's okay.
Right.
Right? Brad calls those in seminary thick ice and thin ice, right? Mm-hmm. There's places in the Scripture where the ice is kind of thin, and you don't want to... It's not worth splitting a church over, you know, like, you may get in danger if you dance around on it too much. I mean, it's there, but it's not, you're not going to build a house on it.
Right.
Right. And so there are places you can go, well, I think it means this. Well, okay. We can, you know, some stuff in Revelation. We're not all exactly sure, you know, right, what all that means. There's other places where the ice is really thick and it's solid and it's referenced over and over and over and over again in Scripture, and that ice is not going to break. And those are places where I don't think we need to give ourselves as much leeway.
It's good,
you know, to adapt what it says to try and fit it into our more modern interpretation, because the ice, it's really thick and strong.
Right. Yeah. So to stay grounded in what the Bible actually means, right? There's what I felt when I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's what it means as it is written.
Yes.
And I think it's an important distinction as we are studying the Bible, reading the Bible, maybe for the first time or getting into it, to kind of understand the difference between those things. There's some things that God may bring to your mind as you're reading it. There may be some things that you are feeling as you read it. And those things can very well be legitimate.
Right.
But then what that passage says is something, and what that passage means is something different. And I think we need to, again, like you said, it's not that one of them is bad, but we just kind of need to make sure we got them in their proper place.
Right.
Because because we don't want to accidentally become the next person who is taking verses out of context and having them mean something.
That's right. Mean. Right.
I don't want to do to myself what other people have been doing.
Right.
All right. So I want to make sure if you've got any other great tips, I want to make we've exhausted your expertise here. Is there anything else that you kind of wanted to share with us about helping us get motivated to study the word?
I just really hope that, you know, those of you that have stuck around and listened to all three of these or even just this one, like I do think that the Bible can change your life in only good ways. You know, that's what it's intended for, right? It is right. intended to change your life in only good ways. Now, that doesn't mean that there may not be some hurt involved in that, because sometimes it's weeding stuff out
right.
that doesn't need to be there, right? Sometimes it's showing us things. I've read some things before that I'm like, oh, that is a major problem that I have.
Surgeons right? are kind, mm-hmm. but they also hurt you sometimes.
That's right. So, I mean, but just it has changed my family. It's changed the direction of my family tree. It's changed the way I look at the world, the way I look at myself. And I want to pass along the hope of that to as many people as possible and to give it the benefit of the doubt, right? Mm-hmm. To not look at it as this scary, confusing, out of date thing, but to maybe give it the benefit of the doubt. And that this thing, maybe it can change my life too.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that and for this episode, all your tips, and just being with us for the last several episodes. Thank you so much, Melanie.
You're welcome.
So, and thank you for being a part of it. And if you are part of The Grove, I encourage you to come up to Melanie and tell her thanks for being here, because it's been a privilege to be able to just kind of glean from her wisdom and hear how God has used his word in her life and how she wants it to be powerful in ours as well. And so I hope that you are motivated to take a journey in God's word yourself. And if you need more help on that, feel free to come talk to Melanie or me or just about anybody you know at the church. We would love to help you get oriented in a way to help you study and learn and appreciate God's word at a deeper level. And if you are newish or new to The Grove and haven't gotten well connected, I encourage you to go to thegrovechurch.org/connect. Learn more about our Sunday services, all the things we've got going on. Either way, we'd love to know who you are, how we can help you. Again, I'm Charlie. This is Melanie, and thanks for joining us.